from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring science and the environment. 1 year ago, more than half the state's voters said yes to building a high-speed electric train line that could whisk riders at 220 miles an hour from San Francisco to L.A. in 2.5 hours. With that vote, Californians approved a $10 billion bond measure to jumpstart the project. But a year later, many are decidedly less enthusiastic. Amy Standen reports.
Good old AAA, yes, a great place to start.
Looking at a map, high-speed rail seems pretty straightforward. The line runs from San Francisco down through the peninsula to San Jose, then jogs east to Fresno before plunging south to L.A. To many California voters, it seemed like one of those visionary, game-changing projects that your grandchildren will thank you for. But reality is shaping up a little differently.
The high-speed rail bond passed in November of 2008, and then bang, there we were, essentially the 1st of January, the new year, saying, okay, here we come.
Dominic Spathling is a regional manager for the California High-Speed Rail Authority, a state agency planning the system. He oversees one of the most controversial chunks of the whole project, the San Francisco to San Jose route. Spathling says that almost immediately after the measure passed, the letters started pouring in.
This reminds me of the Great Wall of China bisecting a tree.
This is a large risk to the health and vitality of these communities.
It's a bad idea to begin with.
I'm very concerned about the horrible noise factor that can resonate.
Other naked vertical surfaces tend to attract graffiti.
Terrible psychological and behavioral costs on the
community. I am vehemently against this proposal.
Of course, not everyone fears the train. Some towns, like Fresno, have welcomed high-speed rail, saying it'll boost the economy and bring jobs to the region. But the roadblocks keep popping up, from environmental concerns in Los Angeles to a lawsuit filed by Menlo Park and Atherton residents who didn't want the tracks running through their towns. High-speed rail may be one of the most complicated state projects ever undertaken. Again, Dominic Spathling of the High-Speed Rail Authority.
Any engineer or planner understands, you know, the magnitude of what we're trying to do here. And so they're excited by that, but I think they're also understandably nervous.
And with magnitude comes cost. Estimates put the price for high-speed rail at least $45 billion. Last month, the Rail Authority applied for $4.7 billion in federal funds from President Obama's stimulus package. Private partnerships and rider fees will make up the difference. If all goes according to plan, trains will be running by 2020. But that's a big if.
Can't hear it. It's coming from the south.
Helen Sandoval lives in Palo Alto. Her backyard butts up against the Caltrain tracks. Like more than 60% of Peninsula voters who approved Proposition 1A, Helen was all for high-speed rail just a year ago.
Did you vote for Prop 1A?
Yes, I did.
That was before she knew that the high-speed rail tracks will run right next to Caltrain.
If I'm a NIMBY, yeah, because it is my backyard.
Like a lot of residents, Sandoval is deeply distrustful of the High-Speed Rail Authority. She thinks they aren't being straight with her about whether or not she'll lose her house.
Has anyone come to you and said, you know, sorry, your house is on the list?
No, they never came just before. They're not coming now. And, you know, my understanding is once they're ready, they just do an eminent domain action, and you can't really fight an eminent domain.
The Rail Authority says it's too soon to know whether homes will have to be destroyed. But in any dense area where the high-speed train runs, there will be major construction. That's partly because trains running at high speeds can't intersect roadways. So at hundreds of crossings throughout the state, the tracks will have to either go up on elevated concrete structures like BART, or the roads themselves will dip under the tracks. But there's another solution, one that comes up over and over again.
How about a tunnel?
Dedicated tunnel or tunnels?
A tunnel.
A tunnel.
Only full-bore tunneling would be acceptable.
Tunneling is a lot more expensive than not tunneling, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
This is Jeff Barker, my deputy director for the High-Speed Rail Authority. He says the authority isn't ruling out the possibility of tunneling throughout some parts of the peninsula.
If that is a preferred alternative that we decide to go forward with, then we will need to study that. We'll need to put a price tag on it.
What kind of price tag? Well, tunneling can be up to 6 times the cost of a street-level train track. But that hasn't dissuaded local architect Tony Carrasco, who, by the way, also voted for Prop 1A.
Yes, and I would vote for it again. I think it's a great proposition.
Recently, Carrasco took part in a 2-day design workshop where residents came up with a plan to bury both Caltrain and high-speed rail. The 8-mile tunnel would run the length of Palo Alto, and above ground,
There would be buildings and cafes and a bike path and a pedestrian path that goes 7 miles from the south of Palo Alto to Atherton.
Carrasco says that new development would help pay for the tunneling. Now, how much of a dent could it make in a multi-billion-dollar project? That's unclear. It's one of many questions to be addressed as the Rail Authority begins its environmental review process, which will continue for the next 2 years. They hope to start digging in 2012. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED Radio News.
To see an interactive map of the high-speed rail route, go to our website, kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the Fidesz Family Foundation.